All right, Trouble, say good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking our sponsors for this year, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Kislev, Sammy and Malka Esterson, for dedicating the Shiur Midrashos this month in memory of their parents. Yitzchok Leib Ben Aaron HaKohen, Ludwig Stiefel, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch Avram, Sarah Stiefel, and Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim, Hinda Esterson, Zichronim Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the neshamas will have an aliyah and the family in a chama. We thank our Week of Learning sponsors, Jack Bennett, in memory of First Sergeant Rafi Zengvel, who served as an infantry soldier in the Givati Brigade and was killed by Hezbollah in southern Lebanon in January 25th, 2000. We thank our Dafyomi sponsors in the dedication and the zechus of Rafua Shalema, for Ruchama Aviva Bas Shena Chana, as well as for Rachel Yehudis Bas Tova Gittel, and Bernard and Varda Birnbaum, commemorating the yahrzeit of Bernard's beloved father, Dr. Adolf Birnbaum, Avram Ben Hachover Yisachar Dov Halevi Zichron Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah, and all those who need a refuah will have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. And I both say with that, let us begin. So we have a lot to do today. Today's daf is Kuf Aleph 101, but we are picking up in Eretz Hashem on Kuf Amud Beis 100b, and we are picking up really a lot to do today. Amud Beis, the two dots. So I both say in the wide lines, we are 2, 4, 6, 8 lines down in the wide lines. So I'll say an interesting sugya. But Amar Rami Bar Chama Amar Ravasi. So Rami Bar Chama said in Ravasi as follows. Asra li Adam shi Yaakov ishto lidvar mitzvah. A man should not coerce his wife to engage in a dvar mitzvah. So we'll say, what is this referring to, a dvar mitzvah? Rashi says, tashmish. A man should not coerce his wife into relations. So the Imar says, Shine Emar, Va'atz Beraglayim Chote. So let's remember again, this is the pasuk that the Gemara quoted yesterday from Mishlei. Atz Beraglayim Chote literally means that he who walks quickly is a sinner. So we'll say, Rashi points out that Raglayim sometimes is also a metaphor for intimacy, for relations. So therefore, sometimes again, a person could engage in intimacy and be a sinner. When is intimacy a sin? When one coerces his wife. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Shuvan Levi, Kala Kofe Ishtol Dvar Mitzvah, Have You No Bonim Shelem Huganin." If a man goes ahead and coerces his wife into relations, and as a result she becomes pregnant, he will have unworthy children. Amar Rav Ika Bar Chinina Maikra. What's the pasuk which supports this idea? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk. Same pasuk from Mishnah. We'll say, "Atz Paraglayim Chote" is the end of the pasuk. The beginning of that verse is Gam Belo Das Nefesh Lo Tov. So I'll say this is very interesting. So the way the Gemara is understanding, Gam Belo Das, if something is done without Das, right? Without real consent, Lot Nefesh Lo Tov. It produces a Nefesh that is not good. It produces a soul. So I'll say the Gemara understands this. What does this mean? This refers to a man who coerces his wife into relations, and therefore, again, she becomes pregnant. The result of a coerced act of relations, ultimately, again, is going to be a nefesh lo tov. Is going to be an unworthy child. Tanya v'halacha b'raisa that supports this. Gam b'lo da'as nefesh lo tov. What does that refer to? Ze'akofe isha lidvar mitzvah. This is a man who coerces his wife into having relations. So we'll say, so let's just talk about this for just a moment before we go on. So we'll say, what's the case over here of a man coercing his wife into relations? So we'll say, so to be clear, marital rape is asr, right? So it can't be talking about marital rape, chas v'shalom. So what is it talking about, coercing one's wife? So we'll say, what it means is, you know, it means what it says, coercing one's wife to do something that she doesn't really want to do. She doesn't want to do it. She doesn't want to have relations. But a man compels upon her ultimately again to have relations. What the Chazal are telling us is something incredible in the realm of the marital relationship. That the only time that the intimate bond is something meaningful is when both parties are willing participants. But again, if a man is, the word coercion, Rabbi Ozzy, often conjures up an image of force. So just to be clear, physically forcing one's wife to have relations, of course, is usr. I will say there can actually be an issue of Kabbalah. A woman could potentially sue for damages if she's injured in such, even her own husband. So marital rape is usr. But even coercion, I will say, just to give you the backdrop to this, very, very quickly. The pasuk says, Vayikach esa adam v'arichinu began Eden. that ultimately, again, Hashem took Adam and placed him in Gan Eden. So interestingly enough, Rashi says, what does it mean by Yikach? Lokcho bedvarim. Hashem took him with words. With words. So I say, so what's the pshat? See, that's not the pshat, Vayikach. What does Vayikach mean? What does literally Vayikach mean? Picked him up. The image, if you just read the pasuk, is Hashem picked Adam up and he put him in Gan Eden, or he nudged him along and he pushed him into Gan Eden. What do you mean by Yikach Lokcho Bidvarim? So we'll say there's an incredible yisod here. What is Rashi saying? So the Maharal comments on this, and the Maharal says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood he could pick up Adam and place him in Gan Eden. But Rabbi said, do you know what happens when you physically force a person to do something? Their body complies, but their mind is somewhere else. Right? So you may have gotten their physicality, but at the end of the day, you don't really have their involvement. So in Chazal say, a man shouldn't coerce his wife into relations. Again, obviously, physically forcing marital rape is usur. What it means is, if the act is going to be something meaningful, then the wife has to be a vested party in this, like her husband. And if she's not, then by definition, as much as the act may be physically fulfilling for the man, the byproduct of the act will not yield any real fruit. We'll say just in general, I'll point out to you, in Rashi, throughout the Torah, whenever the Torah uses a lashon of vayikach, that someone took someone else, like it says by Moshe Aaron, that Moshe took Aaron to be the Kohen Gadol, Rashi always has the same comment. Lokcho bidvarim. He took him with words, which Rabbi says is an incredible yisod in life. If you want people to really go ahead and be productive and do things that are productive, the best way you do that is you get their buy-in. If you force people to do things, I don't mean this like with little kids. You can't always get your buy-in with kids. I say, but if you force people to do things, you may get their physical compliance, but ultimately, again, they're not really vested. They're not really vested. I'll say, not to get into like heated. But I'll say, this is a very big issue now, even with many of the restrictions that come out, and the reason why people aren't really adhering to a lot of things. I don't mean in the Jewish community. I mean in the Welt in general. Because again, if you don't get people's buy into things, they don't understand, and it doesn't seem rational, it doesn't seem necessary, it's hard to get people's buy into things. Okay, in any event, that's a side topic. So the Gemara says as follows. So Va'at Braglaim Chote Zeba'al V'Shona. And what does it mean, Va'at Braglaim V'Chote? So I will say this refers ultimately again, Zeha'boel V'Shona. This refers to someone who has two acts of relations repeatedly. So I will say the Gemara sounds like that's a bad thing. Ini, is that a bad thing to be boel v'shona, for a man to have relations with his wife and then repeat the act again? Va'amarava, harotze lasos kol banav zcharim, yivol v'yishna. So we'll say if a man wants to go ahead and only have sons, the recipe for that apparently is to always have relations and then a second act immediately afterwards. And I will say this is actually very interesting. Rashi points out over here the reason for this. Look at Rashi, Yivol v'yishna, Shemachmas b'yarishona, Nis'ava ha'isha, V'holbasha taiva. K'sherba b'yashnia, Himaz ras t'chila, V'heicha dihimaz ras t'chila, Yoled z'achar. Well, said this is very interesting. Chazal had this idea, and again, I have no idea about the medical reality of it. Chazal had this idea that the gender of the baby is determined by whoever climaxes first in the act of relations. So interestingly enough, so the Gemara says, if the woman climaxes first, then ultimately again, then Yoled is Zachar. Then Halacha L'maisa, again, it's a boy, and vice versa. So Rashi says over here, that if it's Yibol V'Yishna, then ultimately again, she'll be Mazra, she'll climax Tchila in the second act, and therefore Banim Zucharim. So you see, Yibol V'Yishna is not a bad thing. I mean, more than not a bad thing. Chazal is saying over here that again, that's the recipe for having sons. Lo kashya kan ledas kan shelo ledas. To which the Gemara says, it's not a contradiction. I will say, Yibol, thank you. Yibol v'yishna is fine as long as you have her consent. So Yibol said, what Chazal is trying to make a distinction over here is between a case where a woman wants to participate in the act of relations versus when her husband, and I'm using in quotations, forces her. Again, Rabbi Osei, I can't say enough. Forcing, of course, marital rape is asar. Right? When you say forcing, it means just she doesn't want to, but he's compelling her to. So Chazal say, nothing really positive comes out of an act of intimacy where both parties aren't interested. Good. So listen to this interesting Gemara. Any situation where a woman, tovas by literally means propositions her husband. What it means is like this. Any time that a woman initiates the act of intimacy with her husband, havim abanim, she will have children who are so righteous, shafilu bedoro shalmosha lohayu kimosan. She will have children who are so righteous, they're even more righteous than the generations of Moshe Rabbeinu. Where does the Gemara get this from? Listen to this. This is incredible. In the generation of Moshe, it says, Havulachem anoshim chachonim nivonim yidun l'shifteichem. So you will say, ultimately, again, the generation of Moshe, it says, mostly this is when they were creating the judicial system. So it says, bring forth men who are chachamim, nivonim, yiduim l'shifteichem. So Rabbi say, chachamim. Chachamim means wise. Now, nivonim, Rashi writes, means a navon, means mevinim davar mitoch davar. Rabbi say, there's a difference between a chacham and a navon. A chacham is someone who's able to understand things or absorb information. A navon is someone who's able to, I don't know, there's a good English where I guess, is it intuit? Someone who could take a piece of information and based on that piece of information extrapolate another set of truths or facts. I guess it's intuit, right? Is that, okay, good. Intuit. V'shiftechem. Uksiv, and Rabbi say, so Moshe is looking for chachamim and navonim. Yet, interestingly enough, uksiv, v'ekach es rashi shiftechem, anashim chacham mi yiduim, v'ilu navonim lo eshkach. Well, this is very interesting. So Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for judges. He was able to find chachamim. He was able to find yiduim, but he was unable to find nevonim. Very interesting. Unable to find nevonim. Yet v'ilu gabi leyaksiv. Yet Rabbeinu say by leya imenu. What does the pasuk say? Vateitze leya likraso. Vatomer elai tovo kischatichah. We'll say in almost like a very shocking pasuk. Remember again, this is by the story of the Dudaim, right? Remember again, Leia has the Dudaim, the flowers. Rachel comes to her, could I have some Dudaim? Leia says to her, again, it's a shocking exchange. Leia says to her, it's enough that you've taken my husband, you also want to take my Dudaim. So what happens? So Rachel says, fine, you could have him tonight. So we'll say, so this is wild. So Leia comes out to Yaakov, and she says, Vatomer Eli Tavo, tonight you're coming to me. Kischar secharticha, literally again, because I bought you, right? I've bought a night with you. I've bought a night. So we'll say, so Leah Imenu comes out verbally aggressive way, right? In other words, she tells Yaakov, you're coming to my tent tonight. And we'll say, what happens? What was the result of that union? Uksiv, omibnei yisaschar, omibnei yisachar, yodei bina li'itin. Ladas mayase Yisrael Hashem asay mechalachem apiem. So we'll say yet the product of that union was Yisachar. Was Yisachar, and amazingly enough, how does the Navi describe Yisachar? Yodea bina liitim, right? Nevonim. So we'll say so. Chazal see from here. You see from here that what? That when a woman is so desirous of her husband that she aggressively propositions him, she has children ultimately again, who, even generation of Moshe, right? In generation of Moshe, they couldn't find Nevonim. Yet Leah Imenu, because she was so aggressive in being with her husband, ultimately again, she was given a son who was a Navon. What's the pshat with this? What's the pshat? So remember again, context is everything. Why is Leah speaking in this way, right? This almost like aggressive fashion with Yaakov. Why? She wants to build the Shvatim. She wants to build the family. So to be clear, when Chazal are extolling the virtue of a woman who actively pursues her husband for intimacy, it's in the context of building family, right? It's in the context, ultimately, again, of going ahead. In the context of going ahead and doing a davar shebikdusha, it's not just in the context of a physical want of intimacy, but it's mamish again for the purpose of building a mishpacha. So you see over here again, so Chazal is saying when a person is so driven, Abu Sa'id, you see this a couple of times. Where else do you see this? You see this throughout these parashas. Yaakov Avinu does the same thing by Lavan. Right? What does Yaakov say by Lavan? He says, I've worked for you. I've worked already for 7 years. Right? Give me my wife, a tavoi leah. Let me have relations with her. So, right, the Gemara points out, no one talks like that. No one talks like that, especially to your father-in-law, right? Can you imagine you're planning the wedding day, say to your father-in-law, listen, you know what? It's really time for me to have relations with your daughter. You know, so if we could just, you know, expedite the wedding date a little bit. Don't try it. I mean, you know, it's not going to go well, right? It's supposed to be Yaakov Avinu says that. Right? We'll say there's no need to be texting back and forth about this. Right? They'll say, so ultimately, again, yet Yaakov Avinu goes ahead and says it. So we'll say, again, Rashi says there was an urgency to build the Shvatim. So you see in this context when people are speaking, and we'll say essentially, like, for lack of a better term, a bit more of like sexually explicit ways. When I say explicit, meaning they're indicating, like Leah's saying, you're coming to me tonight. I bought you. I bought you. Well, what? Yaakov Avinu says it's time for me to come on to my wife. Well, what? Because we're both saying, again, there's an urgency to create something of holiness. So Chazal are saying that when, again, people speak in explicit ways in order for some higher spiritual purpose, ultimately, again, the Ribono Shel Olam rewards their aggressiveness with holy offspring. Meaning, is that so? Or as well say, Sigmar is intrigued by this idea. Is it true that it's appropriate for a woman to be, you know, called verbally aggressive with her husband regarding the want for relations? There were 10 curses that Chava suffered as a result of her sin. Dichsiv, or the sin of her and Adam. Dichsiv, Ela Isha Amar Harba Arba. So I will say, because the pasuk says to the woman, he said, Akash Baruch Hu said, I will increase your suffering. What does that refer to? Elu shnei tipei damim. This refers ultimately again to the 2 drops of blood. So the har ba'arba, where does the woman have difficulty? 2 drops of blood. Achas dam nida, v'achas dam besulim. The fact that a woman has dam nida, and that there's hymenal blood, dam besulim, ultimately again, that was part of the repercussions of the sin of Chava. So the Gemara says, it's voneich. Ultimately, again, your difficulties, zet sar gidel bonim. This refers to, or your sadness or difficulty, this refers to the difficulty of raising children. Veheronech, your pregnancy, zet sar ha'ibor. This refers ultimately, again, to the pain of pregnancy. We'll say, it's interesting, by the way, the Marsha points out, there's a problem here. What's the problem? The order seems to be reversed, right? Shouldn't it be tsar of pregnancy, then tsar? So we'll say, it works perfectly, says the Marsha. It's an incredible observation. Because for Chava, Tsar Gidl Banim came before Tsar of pregnancy. She had no Tsar in her pregnancy, right? Or at least not, again, at least as far as we know, certainly not with Kain and Hevel. Perhaps, again, Shais, it came up a little bit. But at least, again, when she was being given the punishment while they were still in Gan Eden, Tsar Gidl Banim came before pregnancy. So the Gemara says, Be'etzev Teldi Banim, Kimashmo, literally, again, with difficulty, you will birth children. That's as it says. And it will say, what does it mean to your husband? You will cling. It means that a woman often yearns for her husband when he's not home. But he will rule over you. So we'll say it teaches us that often when a woman desires intimacy, she may be a bit more reserved in outwardly asking her husband. Yet, amazingly enough, men have no such reservations, right? So when a man wants something from his wife, he has absolutely no problem telling her, but yet a woman may be a little bit more reserved in how she speaks. To which the Gemara says, by the way, Zohi Mida Tova Benashim. And we'll say, that level of tznius, that level of modesty is actually a good thing by women. Ki kamirun. So we'll say, so which one is it? In other words, so we seem to have 2 competing statements of Chazal. Is it a good thing for a woman to be verbally aggressive? And that's the term I'm using, but you understand, verbally outright or verbally forward. Aggressive is the wrong word. Verbally forward with her husband about her desire for intimacy, or is it better for her to be a bit more reserved? To which the Gemara says, Ki kaminon demiratzia artsuye kame. So we'll say what it means is that a woman acts in a more loving fashion towards her husband, where she could communicate, or a more seductive fashion towards her husband, where she could communicate through her actions what it is that she desires, but yet, again, doesn't necessarily articulate it. So we'll say, so just to be clear, Chazal aren't saying that a woman can't tell her husband what it is that she wants from him. What it's talking about is when the Chazal is talking about the derech of noshim, apparently, again, like the manner in which, quote-unquote, women conduct themselves, that there's a midah of tznius that exists by women that does not exist by men. And as such, again, but yet amazingly enough, the Gemara does extol the virtue of a woman who is forward, you know, in asking her husband or in acting in a way that clearly indicates that she desires intimacy, especially when the sake of that intimacy is for the sake of building mishpacha. I will say, I also point out that the definition of building mishpacha, Rabbi Soloveitchik writes about this in his essays, A Family Redeemed, about marriage and about life. When we talk about building mishpacha, we'll say, also doesn't just mean getting pregnant and having children. Building mishpacha also means the idea that the physical bond, intimacy, is the glue which often holds a couple together, is such an incredibly integral part in a meaningful and fulfilling marriage. So when Chazal is saying that if a woman is forward, quote unquote, verbally forward with her husband, havi lo banim levonim, it means, yes, okay, if she wants to build a family, it could be an incredible zechus for the kind of children they're going to have, but it also means that if she understands that this act of intimacy is something that brings the couple closer, then by definition there are positive byproducts of that verbal forwardness. Good. The Gemara goes right there. Hani Shevin. So first of all, I'll say the Braiser began with saying that there are 10 punishments that Chava received. But yeah, we only listed 7. So that's actually very interesting. Ki as Rav Dimi Amar. Rav Dimi said, here are the other 3. Atufa Ke'evel. A woman walks around wrapped like a mourner. Minuda Mikol Adam. Ultimately, again, she is excommunicated from all men. V'chavusha Be'Sasur. And she's incarcerated, ultimately, in a jail. We'll say, what does this mean? So the Gemara says as follows. So first of all, Rashi points out, Atufa Ke'evel means Bosha lotzeis berosha parua, that a woman is embarrassed to go out with her hair uncovered. The idea being that Absalom said, this all stems from this idea that, remember, before they ate from the Eitz Das Tovara, there was no embarrassment associated with nakedness. After they eat, suddenly again, nakedness becomes something shameful. For a woman, that took on even a greater meaning, again, with, according to Rashi, with her hair. That whereas she won't go out with her body uncovered, even her hair is something that she is makbid on to keep covered. So the Gemara says, "My menuta mikol adam." What does it mean ultimately? Again, that she's excommunicated from all men. Ime mishum da asur la yichud. If you want to say something at the isur yichud, that she's not allowed to be alone with a man who's not her husband. So again, ihu nami is asur la yichud. I will say, a man also has an isur yichud. He's also not allowed to be alone with another woman. Elo da asur la beitrei. And I will say, interestingly enough, a woman is not allowed to marry 2 men, whereas one man is allowed to marry 2 women. So I'll say, ultimately, again, interestingly enough, this quote unquote inequality is attributed to part of the curse of Chava. Interesting. B'masni satana, migadela se'ar kalilis. We'll say in the Brace we also have that she could grow her hair. We'll say Lilis was a female shade, who apparently, again, on a different topic, also one of her powers is the ability to seduce men. Apparently, again, she has very long hair, so a woman could grow her hair as long as Lilis. V'yosheves umashtenes maim kibehemo. And a woman sits and urinates like an animal. We'll see what this. We're gonna explain all of this. The nasis kar lebayla, and she becomes literally again a mattress for her husband. Rashi says over here that this is a metaphor for the fact that the woman is often on the bottom during tashmish. Rashi says shehu lemala b'shas tashmish, so v'idach hani shevachula. Bosi Lepin says these are not considered to be curses. These are actually considered to be a shevach for her. What does this mean? Domra b'chia b'may dichsev melefanu mevehemos eretz umeofashani yichak menu. Abose, what's the meaning of the pasuk that says over here? In Eov, literally again, Mafenu me behemos aretz, which literally means teach us from the animals of the land, and ultimately again from the birds of the heavens we will become wiser. What does this mean? So the Gemara says, Mafenu me behemos, what do we learn from the animals? Zupreda shekoraas umashtenes mayim. This refers to the mule which crouches when it urinates. So both said, the idea is, what are we learning over here? There's an element of tznius. So the fact that a woman has to sit when she has to relieve herself is not considered to be a curse. In fact, again, it's a mailah, that she has a woman has an element of tznius, of modesty, even when she takes care of her bodily needs, as opposed to a man, when he takes care of his bodily needs, is often exposed, so a woman has the ability to do so in a more tsanua fashion. And what does it mean ultimately? Again, from the birds of the sky, they become wise. Zet tarnagol is very interesting. Zet tarnagol shemefais ve'achakach bo. This refers to the rooster, which appeases its mate before having relations. How does it appease its mate? So the Gemara says, we'll see it in just a moment. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, amalei lo nitna Torah. So we'll say, this is incredible. So Rabbi Yochanan says, if the Torah were not given, there would be certain things that we could learn from the animal kingdom. The Gemara says, lamei din snios mechatul, we could learn modesty from a cat. Rashi points out over here, that apparently, she'eino matal rei b'fnei adam mechaset tza'aso. So apparently, a cat doesn't relieve itself in front of people, and after it relieves itself, it covers up its waist. So you can learn snias from a cat. Good. So the Gemara says, furthermore, v'gezel min amala, you can learn about theft from an ant. Then I will say, what's the pshat over here? So Rashi says that the ant gathers food during the summer, in order that it should not have to go ahead and steal from its friend during the winter. So then the mother understands, plan ahead, and therefore you won't be tempted to steal from anyone. And ultimately again, v'arayos miyona, we will learn about morality from the dove, because the dove mates with no one else other than its mate. Derech eres mitarnagol, we will learn about again, the proper way to engage in intimacy from the tarnagol. What does the tarnagol say? Shemef, or what does it do? Shemefais ve'acharkach boel. Because the tarnagol, the rooster, apparently first appeases its mate before relations. So the Gemara says, Maimefais, how does the rooster appease its mate before relations? Amrav Yehuda, Amrav, Hachi Kamarla. This is what the rooster says to its mate. Zavinina leich ziga dematu leich ad kareich. Ultimately, again, so the rooster says, I'm going to buy you a coat that goes down to your feet. Now, I will say, what exactly does this mean? So I'll say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, so he says, Zega Malbush. So I'll say, what's happening over here? Apparently, before the rooster mates, it spreads its wings around the, or by the, what's the female rooster? Chicken? A hen? And okay, by the hen, right? It's almost symbolizing the fact that I'm going to take care of you. So Chazal is calling, I'm going to buy you a coat. So what the rooster essentially is saying to its mate is, please understand that ultimately, again, I'm not just going to have relations with you and then forsake you. I'm going to buy you a coat, which is a metaphor ultimately, again, for I will be here with you to protect you at all times, even after this act of relations. So ultimately, again, the Gemara says, after the act of relations, and then afterwards, again, after the act of relations, the rooster bows his head and says that the feathers on the top of this rooster's head should fall off if it doesn't buy you a coat. Which I will say, by the way, is an incredible and overwhelming mussar as well. Because here, I will say, you have to understand, the beauty of Torah is hafach ba v'hafach ba the kula ba, that everything we need to know in order to be appropriate in all areas of life comes from Torah. I will say, what exactly is the point of this? What exactly am I learning from the rooster? That a man should promise his wife a coat before an act of relations, and then say, I'll get you the coat soon after the act of relations? I will say, what's the pshat? So we'll say it's an incredible use. So what is the rooster doing? The rooster is saying to its mate, I care about you, and I'm here to protect you and love you and to nurture you. That's the symbolism of the coat. The coat provides warmth. I will say, what's the danger? What's the danger sometimes in an intimate relationship? The danger is a man objectifying a woman. Rarely do women objectify men. Much more often and much more common that men objectify women. And even in the context of marriage, it is easy, ultimately, again, for a husband to see his wife as a physical vehicle for his pleasure. And that, of course, leads to a fundamental erosion of marriage. The moment a woman feels objectified is the moment that any bonds of intimacy begin to unravel. So what's the job of a man? The job of a man is to make sure that his wife knows that he's not just interested in her physically, that there's depth to the relationship, that I love you, that I care about you, that I'll take care of you. Yes, intimacy is one way in which we express our love for one another, but lamaise, it's embedded in a much bigger context of marriage. That's what Chazal understood from the rooster. The rooster doesn't just mate and go about its business. The rooster, again, creates an atmosphere of safety, security, love, nurturing. And then after the act of relations, right, the rooster kind of doesn't just, go off on his way and turn on ESPN, right? Right? The rooster goes ahead. And then afterwards, again, once again, reinforces, bows his head. I'm here to take care of you. It's the thing. So Chazal say, ultimately, again, you can learn from the rooster how to engage in proper intimacy. Incredible. We'll say back to Erevin. Top, we'll go from roosters and intimacy to Erevin. Kof Aleph Amidaf. We'll say, okay, today's daf. Prepper, right on schedule. Says the Mishnah. We're going to do this quickly. Hadalah Shel Mukta. So we'll say we're talking about now you have a backyard. That's the Mukta. Backyard is a Mukta. So we'll say you have a backyard and you have a door to that backyard. And I will say, interestingly enough, we're going to see people often didn't have typical doors to their backyards because those doors often weren't used. So you'll see what I mean in just a moment. Hadalah Sheva Mukta v'chadokim Sheva Pirtza, or a bundle of thorns that were used to plug up a breach in a wall. U'machatzalos, I'm saying, Rabbi, say, if you have mats that are hanging and used as doors, you cannot go ahead and use them to close up a doorway unless, of course, they are suspended from the ground. Rabbi, say, what's going on over here? So if you can imagine for just a moment, you have a door. What we're really going to see is you have a door that's not on hinges. And you have a door that's not any kind of pivot. So the concern about say is that if you take a door like that, which essentially is like a removable door, and you plug it into an opening in the wall, what does that look like? Bone. It looks like building. So that's what the Mishnah is talking about over here. If you have any of these doors, you can't just plug up an opening with that door because that is the appearance of bone. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, the Gemara says you can't plug up the elim gain gavam in aretz, unless, of course, they are ultimately, again, gavam in aretz, which means tuluya, we're going to see suspended. Because if they're suspended, then they're considered to be attached to the structure. If they're attached to the structure already, then halacha lemaisa is not a problem of binyan. Or minhu, the Gemara says, that true delas hanigres or machatzalas hanigres, if you have a door that is dragging or a mat that is dragging, the kankan hanigra, we'll say kankan is the handle of a plow, which apparently was also large enough sometimes to be used as a door. If they're tied to the structure and hanging, then you could use them on Shabbos. Because I will say, if they're tied to the structure and hanging, then halacha lemaisa, they're considered to already be attached to the structure, and therefore plugging them into the hole or to the entranceway is not considered to be an act of binyan. And I will say, ultimately, again, you don't have to talk, this goes without saying on yomtiv as well. Amr Abaye says, "Bishiyish lahem tzir." Abaye says, "I will say, as long as they have a pivot, then halacha lemaisa is enough." Because I will say, interestingly enough, having a pivot, is indicative of the fact that a door belongs here. So I will say, it's actually very interesting. According to this approach, ultimately, again, it has to be tied, suspended, and a pivot. Rava Amr Bishiyish lahem tzir. Rava says, even if it doesn't presently have a pivot, but it had a pivot, that's enough as well. So we'll say, again, just want to be clear. When the Gemara is talking about over here, the opinion says you need a pivot, it doesn't mean that the door is on the pivot. If the door is on the pivot, then what? Ein alma lidaber, as they say. Nothing you talk about. Obviously, you can do it. The case over here is where the door is not on the pivot, but there's a pivot there. So we'll say if you have a door that's attached, hanging, and there's a pivot, or there was a pivot, according to Rava. So Lamaisa, again, I'm sorry, according to Rava, then that's enough to allow you to put the door back into the spot. May say, is that true? Tell us, Hanigres, Machatzalas, Hanigres, if you have a door that is dragging, or a Machatzalas, Hanigres, or a Kankan, Hanigrar, Bizman Shekshurin, Utluin, Ugvamina, Aretz, if they are tied to the structure. Tuluyin, Rabose, means to, hanging. Gevoim in haaretz, suspended above the ground. Afilu malinema. So we'll say again, it's not just enough that it's tied and that it's hanging, but ultimately, again, it's got to be lifted off the ground, even just a hair's breadth. No, lelbohen. Then ultimately, again, you could use it to plug the opening in the structure. Ve'im lav, but if not, in olin b'han, you are not allowed to use it. So we'll say, so Abaye mitari satemi, Rav and Tam istemi. So we'll say, both Abaye and Rav will both explain this price according to their reasoning. Abaye mitari satemi, oshe shlan sir, oshe gavaminar. So we'll say, Abaye will say, you don't need everything. Rather, all you need is either if there's a pivot. So we'll say, if you have a pivot, and then there's a door, even if that door is not attached, it's clear to everyone who sees it that is a door and it's not bona, right? If you don't have a pivot, then ultimately, again, you need it to be gevoan mina aretz. Then you need it to be lifted off the ground. Rava Metaris L'Tameh, Rava says, Kishahaya lahensir, Osha gevoan mina aretz. Rava says, even if there's no pivot now, but there was a pivot that was there, then Abba said, then as long as the door is also tied to the structure, that is going to be enough, and you don't need it to be lifted off the ground. Tana Rabbanan, Abba say, first wide line. Tana Rabbanan, Sochei kotzin v'chavilin sheskinan lepirza. So I'll say, if you have a bundle of branches, or a bundle of thorns that you went ahead, I will say, and you essentially arranged to serve as a door. So now, if you can imagine, you have a breach in a home or in a wall, you want to use this bundle to plug up the breach. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Bisha bizman shekoshrin utulu yinolin bohen. As long as they're tied together, and ultimately, again, hanging, you could go ahead and use it to repair the breach. Ve'ein sarach lomar biyom. It's b'Shabbos. You'll have to do this on Shabbos, and all the more so, ultimately, again, you could do this on Yom Tov as well. Tani Rabbi Levi, Delas Almana. So we'll say, so again, it's a very simple principle here. Simple principle is that if you have a door that is not attached to a doorway at all and in no way connected to a doorway, and also when I say door, I'm using that term loosely. It can mean a door, or it could also mean anything that is there in order to plug up an opening. If it is not somehow tethered to the structure, then halacha lemaase you can't put it in on Shabbos because that is an issue of binyan. As long as the door, quote unquote, is somehow tethered to the structure. Tethered, Rabbi said, can mean a couple of things. It can mean tied and hanging. It can mean suspended off the ground. Or it can mean that there's a pivot. Right? Because remember, supposed to say what it seems to be over here is halacha lemaase, as long as there is a pivot or was a pivot, as long as the door is tied to the structure, you could put it back in. If there's no pivot, is where you need the door to be tied and to be hanging off the ground. So as long as it's connected in some way where it's clear that it's a doorway, then you could put it back and forth. So the Gemara says, hey, furthermore, again, Dela Saman, Tanab Chia, Dela Samana, Hanigraris Ein Nolinba. If you have a widowed door that is dragging, you can't go ahead and you can't use it to close off an opening in the home. So what it says, the Imar, hey, hidomi dela samana. What's a dela samana? Ikad ami dechad shifa. One says it's a door of one piece of wood. So you want to say generally doors would be made of multiple pieces of wood. This dela samana is a board. Just one very large board. That's not a normal door. The Gemara says, ikad ami, others explain dechad shifa. The less like Gishma. Others say it's a door with no crossbeam. Both said the way they were used to build the doors, you would have multiple individual boards that were like nailed together, and then crossbeams that would hold those boards together as well. So a Deles Amana is a door without a crossbeam. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hai Midor, Tabo say, another interesting ramification of this. Hai Midor, Tabo say, so now, I'm sorry, new topic. So our door topic is closed. We'll say, halacha lemaisa, if you have a detached door, remember again, we saw this by Masechet Shabbos as well, with the shutters, right? Remember again, they used to have their shutters, not like shutters like you think about it, that hang on a pivot and that open and close. Their shutters were pieces of wood that you would put in the window and that you would take out. So we had a discussion, can you put it in, can't you put it in? Bottom line is, as long as your door slash shutter is somehow tethered to the structure, either again, tied to it, hanging from it, then the mice again, you could put it back on Shabbos. If it's detached from the structure in totality, then halacha lemaase you can't put it back in, because putting it back in would be a problem of binyan. Good. We'll say next topic. Here we go. The Gemara of Yehuda. Hi Midurta. Let's listen to this. If you are building a Midurta, so we'll say if you're building a bonfire. So the Gemara says, Mimala lemata shari. Well, this is very interesting. You could build a bonfire. This would probably work better on Yom Tov, right? You could build a bonfire top down, but not from bottom up. Now, both say the way that the bonfire they're talking about, they both say, was essentially you would have a number of pieces of wood standing up, and then you'd put some additional pieces of wood lying across the top. I both say, what does it look like you're doing when you're building this bonfire? What does it look like? Looks like you're building a structure, right? Your bottom logs, your bottom wood is walls, and then you lay the wood on top across, that is a roof. So the Gemara says, if you're going to build a bonfire, then halacha lemaase on Yom Tov, you have to build it mimala lemata. You actually have to hold the upper wood in place first and put the walls underneath it, so that does not look like you are going ahead. So it says, mimala lemata shari, mimata lemala asa. Take a look at Rashi. Mimala lamata lechos ha'itzim ha'alyonim ba'avir v'las es tachton lamata. You could hold the upper wood in place and put the lower wood below it. Ultimately, again, this is permitted. Rashi says, Biyamtiv, de'ein zeh binyan olam, because that is not considered to be constructing an ohel. However, if you build it from the bottom up, Rashi says, Gemara says, it's actually problematic, because it looks like you are building an ohel, you are building a structure on Yamtiv itself. We'll say, furthermore, v'chin biyasa, if you are roasting eggs on top of a fire, we'll say. So remember, again, the way you would roast it, is you would go ahead and you would build a fire, again, with wood on the bottom, put a grate across the top of the logs and put the eggs on top of it. Rabbo said that also has the appearance of building an ohel. So if you want to roast eggs on Yom Tov, what do you have to do? Bring the grate first, essentially bring the roof first, and then go ahead and put the wood underneath it so you avoid building an ohel on Yom Tov. V'chein kidra, Rabbo say same thing with the pot. So we'll say if you were to go ahead and, let's say, create a fire to go ahead and cook something on Yom Tov, if you put the wood, Rabbi says, it's all presupposing the way you're arranging the wood is you're standing the wood up, you put the grate on top of the wood and the pot on top of the grate. If you do that, it has the appearance of building an ohel. So the Gemara says, it's a very just simple way to do it. Bring the grate first, put the wood underneath the grate. So essentially, Rabbi says, the klal is, milamata lemala aser. To build from the bottom up, that will be aser, because it looks like you're making a structure in ohel. But milamala lemata mutter. But if you build from the top down, ultimately, again, that is going to be mutter. V'chin chavisa. We both say the same thing would be if you utilize barrels. If you were to take two barrels, and let's say, again, you're going to go in and put a grate on top of that, and put something else on top of that, you're going to make a fire in between the barrels, that's also a problem of constructing an ohel. So we'll say, so the way to circumvent the ohel situation in all of these cases is to build from the bottom down, as opposed to from the top down, as opposed to from the bottom up. So a certain tzeduki, Rabbi said, Tzedukim did not believe in Torah Shabbat Pes. So Tzedukim said, Rabbi Shoben Chananya, Chadka, you are a thorny one. He called him a thorn. You're a thorn. Tichsiv b'chu, because what does it say about you, rabbis? Tobam kichadek, right? The best amongst the rabbis and the best amongst the Jews are like a thorn. So Rabbi Yeshua said to him, Amrle Shatyo, you fool. Shafet l'sefe, dekra, why don't you quote the end of the pasuk? Tichsiv, Yashar, Mimasuka, that they are straighter than a sukkah. Well, what's the pshat? Ve'alamai tuvam kichadek. So we'll say, what does this pasuk mean? What does it mean ultimately, again, that the best amongst them are like a thorn? We'll say, this is incredible. Kishim shechadokim halalu maginin ala pirza. The same way, we'll say that people would often use thorn bushes to go ahead and plug up breaches in the wall. Kach tovim shebanu maginim alenu. So to, again, the best amongst us, right? The most righteous of Klal Yisrael, protect the rest of the klal. So let's say, comparing them to thorn bushes, just like the thorn bush was often used to plug up a breach in the wall, so too, again, the tzaddikim of Klal Yisrael plug up the breaches. They protect from the breaches in Klal Yisrael. We'll say, also an incredible, Yisrael also teaching you that even the thorniest individual ultimately, again, has matter. Also, we all encounter thorny people each and every day. And sometimes we think that, you know, at the end of the day, maybe they just don't have so many milas. Yet we'll say, incredibly enough, even someone who's a bit like the chedek, a bit like on the thorn side, we'll say, halach alamais, again, has so many milas as well. The Gemara goes, right to davar acher, tovam kechedek. What does this mean? That the good ones amongst them are like the thorn? Shemechadkin es harishayim legehenam. That ultimately, again, they crush the rishayim in Gehenam. Shene'emar kumi u'vidoshi basion kikarnich asin barzal parsosayach ishem nechusha v'adekos amim rabim. Okay, so we'll say ultimately, again, according to this approach, the same way that the thorn could crush the skin, so too, again, ultimately, again, the tzaddikim crush the rishayim in Gehenam. Beautiful. Says the Mishnah, lo yamur adu b'rishas ha'yachid v'yiftach b'rishas rabim. So we'll say another interesting sugya. A person should not, we had something similar to this in yesterday's daf, speaking about the idea of doing standing in one rishus and engaging in activity in a different rishus. So the Gemara says, lo yamur adu b'rishas ha'yachid v'yiftach b'rishas rabim. Person should not stand in the rishus ha'yachid and ultimately, again, and open a door in the rishus. So if you can imagine this case, I'm standing in my home in the rishus ha'yachid and I reach out my hand to go and open a door in the rishus rabim. Now, obviously, this presupposes that what? That the key is not being moved more than Dalaramas. Because obviously, if the key is being moved in Dalaramas, that's a problem. But assuming that I'm not moving the key more than Dalaramas, you still shouldn't do this, the Gemara says. Lo yif, lo yama al b'shasara, ra yachav yiftar b'shasarabim, or b'shasarabim yiftar b'shas hayachav. So we'll say again, aloha lamaisa, you should not do this on Shabbos. Now Rashi says over here, lo yamod b'shas hayachav, v'yitom avteach hamunach b'shasarabim. So we'll say, I'm standing in my home. I reach my hand out the window into b'shasarabim and take a key and open a door in b'shasarabim. I shouldn't do this. Why? So the Gemara says, v'yiftach bo pesach chanosh b'shasarabim, v'af api she'in li mokom mavteach lemokom lepesach arba amos. We'll say, what's the concern? The concern over here is if I'm handling a key in the Rishus HaRabim and my body is in the Rishus HaYochid, what are we concerned about? What are we concerned about? You're going to come to pull the key into Rishus HaYochid, which we'll say, of course, would be a bona fide act of Hotzah. So therefore, Allah Almighty says a person should not do this. Dear Rabbi Meir, these words are Meir. Amar lo, Ma'ase b'shuk shal patam shay b'Yerushalayim. But yet, I'll tell you a story about in the butcher's market in Yerushalayim. Shayanolin umanichin esam afteach b'chalom shagabi haPesach. So I will say, apparently, what did they used to do? This is very interesting. Apparently, what they used to do in Yerushalayim is they would reach out their hands from their homes into the stores in the Rishus HaRabim, and they would go ahead and close the doors, right? Open the doors, close the doors, and they would put the key on the windowsill on top or on the ledge on top of the door. So if you look at Rashi, it says, Noalin, Pesach Hanusan va'omdin b'Rishus HaRabim va'min olam ala b'asara. So they would go ahead and close the doors of their stores. They would be standing in Rishus HaRabim, and they would place the key lemala me'asara. They would place the key ultimately again above 10 tefachim, Rabbi will say, which would what? Which would remember, again, above 10 tefachim, assuming that the ledge has an area of 4 tefachim, would be a Rishus HaYochid. So we'll see exactly what to do with this story. Rabbi Yossi says, no, shuk shal tzamarim haya. This wasn't the butcher's market, but rather, again, it was a wool market. Okay, why that matters, we'll see. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, v'rabanan. So Rabbi Yossi, when the Rabbanan will comment, I'm Rabbi Meir, Rishus HaRabim. So Rabbi Yossi, ultimately, again, the Rabbanan, so the Gemara says, Rabbanan, Amar Rabbi Meir Rishus HaRabim. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir is talking about a case of Rishus HaRabim. Umahadra inu karmelis. They both say, the Rabbanan arguing Rabbi Meir, right? Rabbi Meir says, you shouldn't stand in one domain and utilize the key in a different domain. The Rabbanan say, but one second, people used to do this all the time in the marketplaces of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, they're not talking the same language. Rabbi Meir is talking about standing in Rosh HaYochid and operating a key in Rosh HaRabim. The Rabbanan respond to Yerushalayim, both say, Yerushalayim is incredible. Yerushalayim has the status of a Carmelis. So the Gemara says, "Dam Rabbi Arachana, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim il mole dal tosen in alos palei." The Rabbi says, "Yerushalayim had walls, and the walls had doors. The doors were closed at night, and if the doors were not closed at night, Chayav la mishum shtarabin." The Rabbi says, "See, if the doors of Yerushalayim were open at night, then Yerushalayim would have the status of a Rosh HaRabim." Because most remember, again, you'd have public thoroughfares that were mufuloshos, that went through the entire way. But the fact that they closed the doors at night makes Yerushalayim like a Carmelis. So Rabbi Yossi says, they're not talking the same language. Rabbi Meir says, you can stand in one Roshos and utilize the key in a different Roshos. The Rabbanan say, Rabbi Meir says, you cannot stand in one Roshos and utilize the key in a different Roshos. The Rabbanan say, yes, you can. They did it in Yerushalayim. But says, Rabbanan, you're talking about a Carmelis, and the Meir is talking about from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh HaRabim, or vice versa. Amra Papa, kan kol dem shenifritzu ba pirtzos, kan la'achar shenifritzu ba pirtzos. Oh, both say, you're right, Yerushalayim was like a Carmelis before the wall was breached. But ultimately, again, once the wall was breached, it had the status of a Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, again, when the Rabbanon are retorting back to Rabbi Meir about what they did in the marketplace of Yerushalayim, it was Yerushalayim already as a Rosh Hashanah. Rava Amar Seifa Asan L'Shariginu. So ultimately, and Rava says that actually, again, the end of the Mishnah is a reference to what the Kabbalah said, the gateways to a garden, which has the status of a Carmelis. V'hachi Ka'amar. And this is what it said. This is what they were saying. V'chin lo yamol b'shos hayachid, v'yiftach b'Carmelis. The Rabbana were saying that ultimately, again, a person should not stand in the Rosh HaYochid and open up something in a Carmelis, Or bekarmelis yiftach rishas hayachid. Or a person should not stand in a karmelis and open up something in the rishas hayachid. Amud beis. Ela imkein asa mechitza gavoa asar shal asar tfachin. Unless, of course, a person goes ahead and makes a mechitza that is at least 10 tfachim high, divi Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, inachinami, the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir is not referring ultimately again to Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah, but even Rabbi Meir from Rosh Hashanah to a Carmelis, and holds that halacha lemaisa, if you're standing in one Rishos, you're standing, let's say, in Rosh Hashanah, you ultimately again should not operate a key in a Carmelis, unless, of course, you have made a mechitza more than 10 tefachim. We'll say, if you want to see this, this is picture 357. Again, it's kind of intuitive. But I will say, here it is. So picture 357, you can see again, you want to stand in one domain and operate the key in another domain, no problem. Just make a mechitza that is 10 tefachim. I will say, I just want to point out, the picture's a little bit deceiving, because remember, again, I will say, 10 tefachim is not all that high. Right? So when you look at that mechitza, that's much higher than 10 tefachim, but it's for illustrative purposes. Good, says the Gemara, Rabbi Meir, but Amar Lo, so the Rabbanan says to Rabbi Meir, Amar Lo, Maise b'shuk shal patan shal yishan shal yinu alim marichin lesan adeh b'chalon shal gabi ha-pesach. So the Rabbanan said back to Rabbi Meir, now both say, now according to this approach, they're talking the same language. They're both talking karmelis. So Rabbanan said ultimately again, so now the Rabbanan said back to Rabbi Meir, but one second, in the shuk of Yerushalayim, they used to close up their stores. They used to close up their stores standing in the streets. The streets of Yerushalayim also have the status of what? Of a karmelis. And yet, what would they do? They would close the doors and then place their keys on a ledge above the doorway. That will say, what is that effectively? That's handing a key from a Rishus Harab, or from a karmelis to a Rishus Hayachid, to which the Gemara says, Amrulo, Maise B'shuk Shalpatamim Hayo. So the Gemara says, so they said back to the Rabbanon, by the way, I'm sorry, Amrulo, they said to him, Maise B'shuk Shalpatamim Hayo Shubishalim, Shayinolinu Manichlan Sadeh Apachalon, Shagabi Apasach. So therefore, what the Gemara just did is indicated that, in fact, they're arguing about the same thing. They're not arguing from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, but rather, again, what they're arguing from is from Rosh Hashanah, even from Rosh Hashanah to a Carmelis. Rabbi Meir is saying that it is usher to stand in Rosh Hashanah and handle a key in the Carmelis. Ultimately, again, the Rabbanan saying that it's mutter. Tan Rabbanan. Pischei Sharigino, Bisman Sheishlan Beisharmi Bifnim. This is very interesting. So the entranceway to a garden, as long as there is a base shar, right? They will say ultimately again, as long as there is some type of entranceway, structured entranceway with mechitzos, so mi bifnim on the inside, poseach v'no mi bifnim, then halacha l'maaseh, you could go ahead and manipulate the key while standing inside of the bayis. Mibachutz, however, again, if you're standing outside, so the Gemara says, Poseach v'no mibachutz. Ultimately, again, you have the ability to manipulate the key, utilize the key while standing outside. Mikan mikan. They both say, what if there's a base shar, right? What if there's an entrance, a structured entrance with walls, both sides? So what's the halacha? Poseach v'no akan v'kan. Then halacha l'maaseh, you have the ability to open the gate from either side. Ein lahem lo l'kan v'lo l'kan. They both say, what happens if halacha l'maaseh, again, there's no base shar on either side? Asurin kan vikan. Ultimately, again, you are prohibited on both sides. V'chein chanuyos hapsukhul shosham. I'm surprised that we're going quickly. V'chein chanuyos hapsukhul shosham. So they will say, if you have storefronts that open up into the Rishus HaRabim. Here we go, I'll say. Bizman. So we'll say, if I have storefronts that are opening up into Rishus HaRabim. So we'll say, so now what's the shayla? The shayla is my ability to use the key on that door. So here we go. Bizman sham min olamata me'asara. If the lock is below 10 tefachim, then ultimately, again, what? Maybe mafteach me'erev Shabbos. So in that case, well, so I bring the key on Erev Shabbos. Umaf umanicho besikufa. And I go ahead and I leave it. Remember, we had the isikufa. The isikufa is literally front porch. But again, you leave it in the area. Remember, the isikufa has the status of a Rosh Hashayachid. Lemachar, poseach v'noel, umachzir l'isikufa. Remember, again, on Shabbos, what are you allowed to do? You're allowed to go ahead and move the key. You're allowed to move the key, ultimately, again, from the Carmelis to the Issikufa, and from the Issikufa to the Carmelis. The Gemara says, Ubizman shamino lamala miyasara. But if halacha lamaisa, again, but if the lock itself, is above 10 tefachim, then what? Then I'll say, ultimately, again, then the lock itself is Irish Sayachid. Then maybe maftech me'erev Shabbos umanicha b'minol. Then I'll say, the best thing to do in that situation is bring the key on Erev Shabbos, put it in the lock. on Erev Shabbos, lemachar poseach beno umachzir lemkomo. And then tomorrow, ultimately, again, you have the ability to go ahead and open it up, close it back up, and when you're finished, return it back to its place. Rebbe Meir, Racham Nacham, say no. Bizman sham mino lemala me'asar tvachim, if the lock is above 10 tvachim, maybe mafteach me'erev Shabbos umanicho besikufa. Then Abba said, well, you bring the key on Erev Shabbos, you put it in the threshold. Lemachar poseach v'noel umachzir lemkomo. Tomorrow, the next day, Shabbos, you go ahead and you open up the lock, and then you could return the key to its place. Same idea would be obechalon shagabi apesach. If you have say like a window that is above the entranceway, emyesh bechalon arba larba. If the window itself, together with its sill, together with the windowsill, has an area of dalet al dalet, the Rabbah said that's considered shiach because it's lamala miyud and it's arba larba. Aser mipneishu kimotzi merishus lerishus. The Rabbah said moving the key to that sill and back and forth, ultimately you're going to be aser because you're moving it either from a kamelus from shuram to shiachid. Midikamer vechin chanuyos. I will say the fact that it also includes the case of the storefronts. Michlal de be'isikufos karmelis askinon. I will say it would appear that the isikufa in question is not a shiach. Rather, isikufa is a karmelis. Hai minol hechidam. I will say, what's the case of the lock? Eid the lespe arba. I will say, if the lock itself doesn't have a makom arba. And I will say, just so you understand what we're talking about over here, if you take a look at picture 358, Rabosei, the type of locks they're talking about, Rabosei, is not like a lock that you're thinking about that is embedded in the doorway. Look at this lock. This is a zaftig lock. Right, Rabosei? So remember, again, this lock, it's like an entity. It juts out from the door. So the Gemara now says, interestingly enough, what are the dimensions of the lock? Idalesbe arba mako p'turu. If the lock doesn't have four tefachim of area, then it's a makom ptur. Because we will say the lock will be lamala miyud, but doesn't have dalet al dalet. I isbe arba, and if it does have four tefachim of space, then what? Bahalim rabbana apuzan shalmin al lamala miyud. Maybe matem me'ar shabbos omani. So we'll say if it does have four tefachim of space, would the rabbanan say in that case af bizman shalmin al lamala miyud? Maybe mafteich me'erev Shabbos umanicho be'sikufa lemachar poseach v'no'aba machzir le'sikufa lechalon shagabi apesach v'akamataltel mekarmelus shtuchet. The Rabbah say, how would the Rabbanan allow you to take it from the isikufa to lock from the lock from the isikufa? After all, again, that would be transferring the key from a rosh shtuchet to a kamerlus on Shabbos. Rabbi says, you're right. The olam de'in ba'arba. In reality, the lock does not have four tefachim. V'yesh bo lochuk l'ashmon dalet. Oh, I will say this goes back to a machlokas we've seen many times before. Chokekin lahashlim. They both say if something doesn't have requisite dimensions, but technically speaking, the area is there that the requisite dimensions could be hollowed out, do we view it as being hollowed out or not? Ubaha pligi. Rabbi Meir says, Chokekin lahashlim. Rabbi Meir says that Allah Almighty, when you have a lock that's not dalid, but technically speaking, could be hollowed out to an area of Dalit, Rabbi Meir says, we view it as if it's hollowed out. Therefore, we'll treat the lock like a Rosh HaSayachit, and Rabbi said, therefore, Aloha Lamaisa, you would not be permitted to transfer the key from the Sikufa to the lock, because that would be transferring an item from a Karmel to Rosh HaSayachit. But Rabbanan Sabra ain't Chokin Lashon. Rabbanan say, no, we do not hold, we'll say, we don't view things as being hollowed out. Either you are hollowed out, or you're not hollowed out. But if you're not hollowed out, we don't view it as being hollowed out. I'm Rabbi Bibi, I'll buy my timer. I'm sorry. Also, we learned three things from this Mishnah. We'll say, number one, we learned that Allah Lamaisa, we do in fact go ahead and hollow out things that we view things as if they are hollowed out, even if they're not actually hollowed out. Furthermore, we go and we see that Rabbi Meir retracted his view, his shita regarding the gateway to the garden. We'll say, Allah Lamaisa, that he retracted his what he said before, forbidding one to stand in the Carmelis and move objects in a Rishos Hayochid. V'shamis minam edirabanon, isa ledrabdimi. So I'll say, furthermore, again, you also have to hold the rabdimi. Why? What happened? The Gemara says, d'chi as rabdimi, am rabbi yochanan, makom she'in ba arba l'arba, muter l'bnei Rosh Sram, l'nei Rosh Siyach, l'kasef alav. But I'll say, this is the famous rabdimi. Rabdimi says, if you have a pillar that it doesn't have the measurement of arba, it doesn't have four tefachim of space, but it has 10 tefachim of height. So we'll say, that pillar can be used. What's the halacha? Both the members of the Rosh HaSayachid and the members of the Rosh HaSarabim could use it to adjust their load. So the Gemara says, provided that what? that they do not exploit that area in order to go ahead and switch and transfer items from one domain to another. So I will say, So I will say, so I apologize for the speed. We're going to start tomorrow shir with halacha lemaisa. Because I will say, what we need to now know is we have a number of different cases. I will say, right? We saw the case. We have three cases. Just so you understand, this will conclude. Three cases. Case number one was standing in Rishas HaYachid and moving something in Rishas HaRabim, or vice versa, right? Case number two was standing in one Rishas and drinking in another Rishas. Case number three was standing in one Rishos and utilizing a key in a third Rishos. So we'll say those are the three cases we have, the three different situations of standing in one domain, doing something in a different way. We're going to begin tomorrow's shir. This is a siman, or as a siv in Shulchan Aruch. We're going to start tomorrow's shir with halacha lemaisa in this sugya, and Amir HaTashem begin the new Mishnah tomorrow. Shkach Losei. Davening, 8:45 inside, 9:00 outside.
In terms of davening,
the whole thing from the
beginning
to the end. Hour and 45 minutes.
You don't start at
Shabbat. Correct. Start brachas. Hour and 40 minutes.